Well, good morning, everyone. Got me cranked up this morning. That's good. I'm going to tell you what. I am encouraged all the time with the men that we have serving in this church and the willingness they have to do the things, to step up here, sometimes getting up and leading anything is not an easy task. And I really commend those that do. But we're not here to talk about the men today, are we? It's Mother's Day. And tell you what, where would any of us be without them? That's for sure, right? I'm going to tell you a story I read. It's about a Sunday school teacher about to start her four-year-olds in her class, and she noticed this little boy showed up at the last minute. She didn't know this little boy. The teacher managed to get his first name, but he wasn't giving up his last name. He just wouldn't. You ever make kids like that? They're going to tell you what they want, but that's it. You're not getting anything else. Don't ask them. Not giving it. So the teacher, she asked the little boy, what's your daddy's name? He said, Daddy. Well, what's your mommy's name? Mama. Okay. She's getting a little bit frustrated, and she realized she had an idea that she might be able to kind of, you know, do an end around this kid. You know, I'll figure this out. So she says, well, what does your daddy call your mama? His face lit up, and in the deepest voice he could manage, he replied, hey, babe. Wouldn't get nothing around that kid, right? Well, but there's something we can gather from that, right? I mean, the little boy's dad loved his mom. Otherwise, it might not have been a nice thing that was said. Henry Ward Beecher, old preacher, noted, he said, the most important thing that a father can do for his children is love their mother. And with that thought in our minds, I want to talk this morning about a subject that doesn't really get a whole lot of focus, and that's the very first mom. See, Eve was the very first mom. In Genesis 3, verse 20, we're going to start way at the beginning of the book today. So, you know, a lot of people, they try to open up their Bible and they flip through the whole thing trying to find that perfect spot. If you just go to the beginning, you're pretty close. I'm going to start in Genesis 3, verse 20. Now the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Think about that for a minute. Everyone who is alive today started off because Eve was there. God created Eve. She was the mother of all the living. In fact, when you look around all the other people, searched all over. I searched the internet. I searched, you know, sermon sites. I searched everything. Nobody really talks about Eve being a mother. I mean, think about it. You hear about Eve, and what comes to mind? Well, how about that day she made a poor choice? I mean, She made a poor choice. She kind of ruined everything for all mankind. Big thing to be remembered for, right? But is that all Eve was? I don't think so. See, I think it's a real shame that that's all people remember, because I think there's a lot to be learned from this first mother of all mankind. I think the first thing we need to realize about Eve is that she was the perfect woman. Because she was created by... You can say what you want about Eve, but she was created by God. And she was created by God to be what Adam needed. We're going to back up just a hair. I told you we're going back toward the beginning of the book. Genesis 2, starting in verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him.' And out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. And the man gave name to all the livestock and the birds of the sky and every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a suitable helper. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. And the Lord God fashioned into the woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'At last this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" My wife told me a story that she had read, and I hope I don't get it wrong, but I am repeating a story. So, but she said that she had read this piece that, you know, the woman was taken out of the side of man, so she couldn't be over him, but she couldn't be below him. And I think that's kind of a good point. Not above, not below, but to be right there with him. Right there with him. The reason Eve was created by God was because in all of God's creation, there was one thing that was not good. I mean, you think about it. Throughout the first chapter of Genesis, if you read it, a statement's made and God said that was good. And something else happens. God said that was good. And he keeps going like a drumbeat. That was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. And then he comes to this one part in the account of creation where God says, something's not good. And what is not good? Well, it's not good that man should be alone. That is what's not good. Eve made all the difference. She completed God's perfect masterpiece. You see, until God created her, things weren't completely good, because there was that one thing that was not good. And then once she was completed, then everything was good. So Eve was the perfect woman because she was the perfect creation of God. I don't think we should forget that. And her marriage to Adam was the basis of every perfect marriage to this day. In Matthew chapter 19, in verse 4, we're told, "And he answered and said, 'Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate. So in spite of their imperfections, and let's face it, Adam and Eve had their imperfections, their marriage to one another is our model for what a marriage needs to be like. But was Eve the perfect mother? She was the perfect woman, right? Their marriage was the model marriage. It was the perfect marriage, right? But was she the perfect mother? Well, no. I mean, let's be real. She was not perfect. I would dare to say that none of us are. You see, she wasn't perfect, but she wasn't all that bad either, right? I mean, bear in mind, out of all of the women out there, Eve did not have an earthly mother to learn from. Let's face it. I'm sure she probably had some instruction for God. Other than that, she was winging it. She didn't have anybody to learn from. Everything she did as a mom, she was the first one to do it. Dave Barry observed, I love this quote. I need to get it framed somewhere. It says, a perfect parent is a person with excellent child-rearing theories and no actual children. I need to get that framed because isn't that the truth? That is the perfect parent. And there's no denying that Eve was not the perfect parent. In fact, her first child didn't do so well, did he? I mean, really, her firstborn was Cain. He was a rotten kid. He really was. He didn't offer a proper sacrifice to God. He couldn't control his temper. He blamed his brother for his own failures, and then he killed his brother and tried to cover it up. I think it's fair to say Cain was a loser. I mean, that's a failure. From a great parent, Cain didn't fare so well. By contrast, Abel was a great son, right? I mean, in fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we're told, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. That's kind of high praise, right? That son, just like the first son, was Eve's son. And then you look at the third one. The third one, Seth. Genesis 4:26 says, to Seth also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. And the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Something about Seth, you see, up until this point, you don't hear this phrase, the people began to call upon the Lord. This is when it started happening. Something about Seth and his family was valuable enough that people started calling him on the name of the Lord and was even included in the lineage of Jesus. Luke 3:38 lists the lineage of Jesus as the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So, I think it's fair to say that was Eve perfect as a mom? No. But two out of three ain't bad. Good kids. So my point is, although Cain was a loser and an embarrassment, I guess you could kind of say the black sheep of the first family, Eve's next two boys turned out to be pretty good kids. Abel and Seth would have made any mother proud. What can we learn from the story of Eve? Well, I think the first thing that you can learn from the story of Eve is something that's not going to be popular in today's culture. And that is, Eve was a woman. Eve was a woman. There's no question about that. I know it seems obvious, but she was a woman just like all the other women. The ones that are here, the ones that are out there, she was a woman. And guess what? Just like everyone else here, she was a sinner. We all have that in common. Now guys, don't get all high and mighty. This is a Mother's Day sermon, but we're all sinners. So guess what? Eve made bad choices. And those choices hurt her family. They hurt her. And, well, they hurt all of mankind. But, bear in mind, up until that point, Eve was a model child of God. Everything went smoothly for a while, and then she met a new friend. Well, I mean, she thought she had a new friend, right? I mean, someone who began telling her that she was missing out on life. Someone who told her that she'd been robbed of the true content of life. God had lied to her, and she was missing out. And guess what? This new friend could help her out with that. Yeah, God didn't really want what's best for her. Does that sound like a very good friend? That's not a very good friend, I'm telling you. But she bit into the lie. And she touched what she shouldn't have touched. She ate what she shouldn't have ate. And because she ignored God, she lost out big time. She lost her home, the garden. And you think about it for a minute. We're told that they're expelled from the garden. And that's a big deal, right? But think about that in modern vernacular. You messed up and you got kicked out of your house. You became homeless because you messed up. She likely lost some trust from her husband. I'm guessing after that mistake, yeah, he went along with it, but probably lost a little bit of trust there. I can tell you she definitely sacrificed some of her closeness to God. She lost the joy she'd once had. Her sin didn't just hurt her, didn't just hurt her husband. It plagued her children for centuries to come. It plagues us now. See, many parents, I think, experience some of the same problems that Eve had. They've done things that they shouldn't do. Many mothers out there have not always been nice, godly women. Not all of their lives. I mean, how do they justify telling their children, do as I say, not as I've done? I mean, sometimes that's not easy, is it? You know, I read another little article I thought was kind of, it has nothing to do with being a mother, but it does have to do with being a parent. See, there's a comedian out there that you might recognize. His name's Adam Sandler. This guy's pretty crude. He really is. He's not someone who watches his mouth very much. He said during an interview several years ago, he said, I think I curse more on this record, because he was selling an album than ever before. Yeah, the album's not too tame. In real life, though, I'm a little tamer at home. My wife yells at me for that because we're going to have a kid and I guess I can't curse. I'm in trouble when my kid grows up and one of his friends says, "Hey, listen to your dad's album." I'm dead. There's no way I could win a fight with that kid. "You did this and you did that." And I'd be like, "Yeah, I did it." As parents, our bad decisions do have a tendency sometimes to come catch up with us. So while the first thing we learn about Eve is, yeah, she made some bad decisions just like every other woman on the planet. She was a sinner just like every other person on this planet and every single person in this congregation. The truth is she faced many of the same conflicts and some of the same bad choices that you and I face. Like Paul said, some of the things I do are not what I want to do. And we face those same things. The second thing we can learn from Eve's story is that God didn't design the family so that the mother would have to raise her kids by herself, did he? He designed it to be a group effort. You see, being a mom is hard work. It's not easy. I read a story about a woman named Mary. While I may not know this Mary, I think I've met plenty of women that probably have had the same experience though. You see, this woman, Mary, she'd had a hard, tiring day. She was stressed out and she'd spent all day trying to corral the two boys that she had. One of her friends had come over to visit and they were looking out into the yard where Mary's two boys were yelling and fighting. Not an uncommon occurrence. And Mary's friend said, "Mary, if you had it to do all over again, would you have kids?" Mary looked out into the yard for a really long time. And finally she said, "Well, yeah, probably, but maybe not these two." Mom, being a mom's hard. But God didn't intend for a woman to do it all by herself. I mean, that's what Adam was there for. God didn't expect Eve to do it. She expected Adam to work alongside his wife and raise the kids. And one of the sad truths I think we have today is that men don't often step up like they should. Studies show that in neighborhoods that marked having a high degree of violence and high degree of crime and juvenile delinquency, that the root of that a lot of times is the fact that there's an absence of fathers in the home. And you see, a good father is the kind who's there to raise the children. Good father backs up his wife so that they can build a solid and a secure home. That's what has to happen. I like the story of a young man who talked back to his mother one day and his dad found out about it and he set the son down for a little talk. He said, "Son, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "You talked back to your mother and you sinned against God. And God says you're to honor her. And you're going to have to answer to him for that. And not only that, but you sinned against your mother. She went down into the valley of the shadow of death to give you life." I think it's a good description of it. How ungrateful you've been to speak to your mother like that. But I'm going to tell you something else. Not only is she your mother, she is my wife. And you are not going to talk to my wife like that. Now, not only do you have God and your mother to deal with, you have me to deal with. Because you've shown disrespect to my wife. I think that little boy probably understood that he'd really messed up in that moment. And I hope so. Because that is the way a godly husband and a godly father should step up for his wife. That's the way a good man should discipline his children. God didn't expect Eve to do all, and doesn't expect our mothers to do all the parenting by themselves either, because it is hard work. But what happens when, let's face it, sometimes a man doesn't stick around? I mean, what does she do then? How does she handle it? Well, I think God has a plan for that too. See, that was read earlier in our service in Titus 2, 3 through 5, where it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. God has a plan for that. When the younger women can't handle it, and they don't have any help, it's the older women who are there to step in and give them a hand. God has a plan for it. There's another statement in Proverbs 27:17 that says that iron sharpens iron. And that's what that's all about. God means for the older women in the congregation to be there for the younger women, to encourage, to give advice, to be a resource. God doesn't expect any mother to go it alone. And there's one more part of this story that I find interesting. Did you realize that even after Eve sinned, and let's face it, she did it big, right? Do you realize that after that, God loved her? I mean, really, she'd messed up. She'd willfully disobeyed him. I mean, this wasn't one of those situations where, well, I didn't know. She knew. She willfully disobeyed him, and he still loved her. You want to know how I know that? Right back there in Genesis 3. Go to verse 21 real quick for me. Verse 21. I love verse 21 right there. Because it says, let me get to that page. I'm going to put it up on the screen anyway, but I love that. The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. You see, you might stop for a minute and go, so what? So what? God made garments for them. After all, they were naked. They needed something to cover up with, right? What's the big deal? Adam and Eve had a problem. They were naked and they were ashamed. Did they do anything about it? Well, yeah, they made fig leaves, right? Have you ever seen a fig leaf? They're not the biggest things. But that was about all they could do, right? And they were embarrassed. Now this is where it gets interesting. You see, when God asks Adam, where are you? What does he say? Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. I could say, I'd probably do the same thing. Heck, if I was naked in the garden, I'd probably hide if anybody came in. And this is God coming in. Eve's sin made Adam sin. Well, it didn't make him. He participated willingly. And it made them ashamed. It made them avoid God. That's sad, isn't it? But don't we do the same thing sometimes? We sin, and then we try to hide from God. The symbol of their sin was their nakedness. Now granted, like I said, they'd made clothes out of fig leaves. Had a fig tree. It's dead now, thanks to the winter storm. But either way, I can tell you, fig leaf is not a huge leaf. It's not like tiny, but it's not impressive. And you see, God could have left them with their fig leaf. He really could have. I mean, I'm sure it, however they fashioned it, covered the essentials, right? God could have left them that way. But in spite of her sin, God loved Eve. And He loved Adam. They were the pinnacle of His creation, the final touch. And they mattered to Him. She mattered to Him. So He made garments of skin to cover her nakedness and also to Adam's. And there's a reason that's important. Because these are garments of skin, right? What generally happens to an animal who supplies the garments for skin? Doesn't fare so well for them. You see, they die. Something had to die to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. And their nakedness was a symbol of their sin. So literally, God made the first sacrifice to cover up the symbol of the first sin. In making the first sacrifice, God made a way for Adam and Eve to be at peace around Him and be comfortable in His presence. God not only offered that first sacrifice, He also turned around later and offered the last sacrifice, the final sacrifice to cover sin. And He offered that last sacrifice because He loved us just as much as He loved Adam and just as much as He loved Eve when He made that first sacrifice. You see, today we're celebrating Mother's Day, and we're setting today aside to honor our mothers. But we don't need to forget that the first mother, Eve, wasn't all that different than our mothers that are here today. Eve sinned. She didn't do everything right. Our mothers here have not done everything right. And none of the rest of us in this room have done everything right. But she did do one thing right. She tried to build her children's lives around God. Genesis 4 verse 1 says, "Now the man had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have obtained a male child with the help of the Lord.'" That was one rotten child. But she still recognized that she obtained that child from the Lord. Do you remember later on, it's talking about Cain and Abel. They made a sacrifice, and one of them made a sacrifice that was acceptable, and one of them made a sacrifice that wasn't so acceptable. Wonder, how did they know to make a sacrifice? I'm sure it was because their parents taught them the honor of God in their lives. And I'd be willing to bet you that while Adam had something to do with it, I bet you Eve had a lot to do with it as well. I bet you that Eve was instrumental in that. Why? Well, first, I can tell you, Eve knew God. See, I know God. I talk to God. You know God, and you talk to God. I think Eve had an advantage, though, right? We talk to God, and I know that all this is an inflection change, but I'm sure you can get it. Eve talked to God. He was there. She talked to him. She had a conversation with him like you and I have with each other. And I'm sure she taught her kids about that. Moms who know God who are like that. I mean, don't you agree? Moms who know God, they teach their children. See, as I grew up, every Sunday my mom would make sure that I was at church. She would make sure that I was at Bible class. She read stories to me. She made sure that I knew the names of the characters and the stories. When I was older and I rebelled, it was my mom that made sure that me and my wife were back in the church. It was because my mother loved God that I came to know Jesus the same way she did. And my kids wouldn't have the same relationship they have with Jesus if it wasn't for my wife. So guess what? That is the importance of a mother. And I think we need to celebrate that every day. And I think we need to support them in making sure that all of our kids know Christ. With that being said, if there's anything anybody needs of the congregation, whether it be prayers, whether it be baptism, whether it means support, you name it, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing. Lord.